Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And welcome to Spouting Off. It is Tuesday, January 29th, the last Spouting Off of January 2019. It's hard to believe that January went so quickly. And we have a wonderful show for you today. And it will be available on podcast on my website, KarenCataline.com, hopefully everywhere where you are. In the second half hour, I got to just tell you this right away. I am jazzed to have with us at Spouting Off an esteemed author and editor of frontpagemag.com, Jamie Glazoff, is going to join us. He is the author of a stunning new book called Jihadist Psychopath, How He Is Charming, Seducing, and Devouring Us. Pretty heavy-duty, serious topic, and this man is an expert on it, so I can't wait to talk to him. But in the first half hour, we've got time not only for me to spout off, but for you to spout off if you'd like to. In fact, it's okay if you want to, if you have a question for our guest after I get a few questions in. But if you are listening live, and a lot of people listen to the podcast afterwards, and you would like to call in the first half hour, our toll-free number is 888-627-6008. That's the number to call, and lots of fun. I've been thinking about a lot of stuff today. Of course, there is, as always, a ton of stuff going on. But you know how something gets to you? You start thinking about it over and over and over again, and you think, you know, I'm seeing a pattern here. I'm seeing a pattern, and I want to see where it leads. So first off, let me say that I talk with my editor, because I am writing a second book, and I talk with my editor about the term spouting off and how it could be taken as a little bit on the self-effacing side, but it's okay because everybody spouts off at various times about various topics. But the idea of spouting off is hopefully to make sure that people understand, or to give people an arena to talk about what is important to them. And I love and am delighted to have this format to talk to you about what's important to me and to have you chime in as well. So I've been doing a lot of writing, which I've been doing more and more for a variety of reasons. It helps me get guest shots on other talk radio programs around the country. And that's fascinating because I get to see the styles and the what is of concern to people in different talk radio markets around the country. And the style of different talk show hosts is always interesting to me. If people are themselves, hopefully they have a personality you can tolerate, it's much better than when they put stuff on. That always doesn't really work too well. But it's the styles of people's communication always interesting. And so I've been writing about the culture war that we're into. And I do have a blog post. In fact, I just had a blog post come out yesterday and an op-ed come out today. And in some ways, it's all about the same stuff. And I see some themes happening here that I want to get into in a deeper level, because that's what's great about talk radio. You can get into this stuff in what I think is the best kind of way to communicate, and that's just with your words, by talking. I was always into that when I was very, very young, spouting off at a very early age. So the blog post that I wrote was called "We Can't Afford to Cede ground in the culture war. A lot of people are not willing to acknowledge the fact that we do indeed, we are in a culture war. And when I think about some of the things that I write about and rail against that are going on with the left, I can't help but see a pattern. Now, I'm not a terribly religious person, but proud to be Jewish. I like to say that I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. And because in conservative circles, I hear a lot about Judeo-Christian values, but not a lot of people speak up for the Judeo part. So I'd like to think that at least I would be one voice for the Judeo part, certainly not speaking for anyone else but myself. But, you know, I see a pattern, and I'm leading up to this, I promise you, that there are patterns here that cannot be denied. And I started talking with friends on email, on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever. And someone brought to my attention a passage in the Bible. It's what Christians would call the Old Testament, and we just call the Torah. Let's see if I have it here, hopefully, because I did write it down. Where did I put it? Yes, I did. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not a big Bible reader, but this one really hit me. So it's Isaiah. Now, as you know, Christians and Jews tend to argue a lot about Isaiah. Christians think it means one thing. Jews who actually wrote it think it means something else. And, you know, that's good. Vive la différence. It's really okay that we have religious differences, that it's good that we live in a country that at least set up a constitution where religious pluralism was a good thing and not a bad thing. And so the differences, so be them. But Isaiah chapter 5, I can't believe I'm actually talking about the Bible here, but I will just tell you, verse 20 says, "Woe to those who say of the evil that it is good, and of the good that it is evil, who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who present bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter." I read that and I went, oh my goodness, or oh my God, as it were, this is some of what we are going through in this country right now. We have a left that is so virulent that it would like to convince us that all the things we thought were good and decent aren't, and all the things we thought were bad, not good, things we would like to curb in the culture, are suddenly good. Why is it that we have a left that thinks it's important to open safe injection sites for drug users? Why is it so important for them to set up? Now, we have found out in the state of Colorado, very important, if you are not in Colorado, pay attention, please. This is but one example of making bad things good and good things bad. And there are numerous examples. This is one that is just top of my mind because it is being presented in Colorado. And a leftist-controlled legislature and a leftist-controlled governor has every power to sign this and put this into law. There were 11 out of 12 council people in Denver who voted yes on safe injection sites. What are safe injection sites, you ask? They are places where people can defy federal law, because last I checked, it was against federal law to shoot, or that doesn't mean people don't do it, and deal in the use of heroin, methamphetamine, and cocaine, to name a few. The left, God love them, would like to have a trial site that they claim is going to help everyone by having places where people can go and shoot up their drugs. They started with clean needles. Now they're moving on to actual sites where people go to shoot up drugs. And because they don't believe in stigma, God forbid, they don't want to be too aggressive in leading those people to treatment to have them get off the drugs. In order to perpetuate this insanity, they want to fund this and claim that this is better for everyone because they get them off the street. Never mind that drug addicts don't necessarily have to shoot up there. They can shoot up everywhere. What I was going to say is, in order to perpetuate this insanity, they're going to claim that they've been successful because they've saved a life. So when someone overdoses and they can be brought back with Narcan, the big new drug that doesn't always work, but does and is capable of bringing people back from a drug overdose, from death, then suddenly that is seen as a success. So then they can say, well, after 2 years, we've had this many saved lives, so now we need even more money. Who's funding this insanity all over the country, you ask? George Soros and Soros's money is funding this. It's coming to a city near you. They want to make Denver the first city with a safe injection site. If you are interested in knowing how awful and horrible and terrible this is, not only for the drug addict himself or herself, but for the surrounding community, the business community, the environment. I don't mean the climate change environment. I'm talking about the living environment where people live. Read about Vancouver. I wrote about it in another piece. There's a place in Vancouver called InSite, and it is a safe drug injection site. Listen to that language. It's not safe to shoot up heroin, methamphetamine, or cocaine. But they would like to tell drug addicts that they have a safe place they can shoot up. My question, among many, many others, is the government going to save you if you decide to jump off a building? Maybe we should have safe jumping off building sites. That might be good, because after all, the government exists to save you from yourself. Do you think the government and the people who love this idea, most of them, some of them, really care about those drug addicts? Who's making money off this deal? All the people who run these operations, the middlemen and the money. But it's worse than that. Look up, because I don't have time to talk about it, and plus I don't have the time to do the amount of historic research that really is required, opium dens in China. If you have people high, drugged up, it's a lot easier to control them and make them dependent on you, isn't it? How evil is that, to deal in making people your psychological slave? That's what we're talking about here. And we're not alone. Remember, at the very beginning of this rant, and I'm just getting started, I was saying that the left at this point has been devolved into elevating what is evil, what is wrong, what is bad, what is terrible for the culture, what is an anathema to American Western civilization. And they are elevating all those things I said, they're elevating them, and they are demonizing good law-abiding citizens as being bad. So they want to demonize white culture. They want to demonize Western culture. Now, you know, the contradictions are massive and broad. The contradictions of, on the one hand, they can say that they're co-opting. It's bad to co-opt, I can't even remember the word that they use, co-opt other people's culture, but they don't mind co-opting our culture, right? So when people take them at their word, they do so at their own peril, because it's a terrible mistake to do so unless you look at the motive at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, our culture is under attack. Breitbart said, Andrew Breitbart said, politics is downstream from culture. So the left has been dictating and demanding a change in our culture, but it's never been this radical and drastic before. I just had a piece in the town, in Town Hall, that I'm very proud of, that I spent a long time on, that I wanted to be out a week or two before now, but circumstances made that impossible. And it's entitled, Why I Reported the Case of an 11-year-old Drag Queen to Child Protective Services. Now we are elevating the idea of an 11-year-old drag queen, and yet these same people want to use children in a variety of unsavory and ugly, nasty ways. Forgive me, sometimes I just get frustrated because this stuff makes me mad. It makes me mad. I direct you to my piece, Why I Reported an 11-year-old Drag Queen to Child Protective Services in Town Hall. You can find it at my website. Right now it's on the front page. As my latest op-ed. But I have personal experience in this. I'm not going to go into it. I would direct you to read the piece. What disturbs me greatly is that none of this stuff is happening in a vacuum. I know some libertarians who think that drag queen story hour is perfectly fine. If you want to indoctrinate other people and tell stories, that's okay too. If you want to take your kid to drag queen story hour, that should be okay. They're very, very supposedly tolerant. The problem with that is it doesn't see the bigger picture. I have strong libertarian leanings of my own, but when you are pushing something like drag queen story hour, where adult drag queens go into public libraries around the country. This is a movement now. This is a movement we have. Simultaneously, not accidentally, we have an 11-year-old drag queen on Good Morning America. This is not accidental. We are being bullied into believing that if you criticize that, you must be anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-this, anti-that. So we've all been conditioned not to sit up and kick up a fuss. I was stunned beyond stunned when I watched a video. I didn't even want to put a link to it in my piece because I didn't want to publicize it. I was stunned that Good Morning America announced this 11-year-old drag queen and cheered him on. This was the most sexualized, ugly kind of thing because this kid was doing somebody else's bidding. Now, this is a huge topic on which I have written a book about the sexualization of children. So I don't have time to go into it here. If you want to read my book, I'd be delighted if you did. It's called Fatlash, Food Police, and the Fear of Thin. It is not just about food and food restriction. It's about my personal experience in child beauty pageants and having a stage mother on steroids who was psychologically and mentally obsessed with my being put on display. I wrote it during the Toddlers and Tiaras era and the JonBenet Ramsey era, which never really goes away because it's a murder mystery that's never really been solved. Although some people believe they know the answer, it hasn't been truly solved. And that story came out when we saw a blatant sexualization of children. Now what we have is a blatant, not only sexualization of children, but thrusting this poor 11-year-old kid into a political agenda that he knows not what he's getting into. When I did, I'll give you the side story, since I didn't have time to write as many words as I wanted. You know, it's easier to talk it than to write it, because you only have so many words that you can write in an op-ed. When I called Child Protection Services, and it was right around, somewhere around the holidays, and so it was tough to get anybody on the phone, the woman was quite incensed that I would make such a complaint, or at least she seemed so, and she kept asking me, what is it that I think is abusive? And I said, he's being exploited. He's being used. So she took down the information. I later talked to the executive director of one of the child abuse agencies in New York. He turned out to be absolutely wonderful, and he took the time to watch the videos, which he had no idea of. He took the time to have a meeting, and I offered him any assistance that I could offer, because I think he would be an ally. And I told him, you will sustain a lot of hostility if you come out against this 11-year-old drag queen, because it is so highly politicized. The hosts on Good Morning America called this kid courageous and trailblazing, which is patently ridiculous. And people are superimposing their political agendas on innocent kids. That's what's going on here. And elevating gender confusion. I mean, think about it. Just to get back to the main theme here, think about it. What has the left not elevated that used to be considered, I guess, one of the seven deadly sins, you know, that used to be considered a bad thing, at least? Blaming other people, elevating criminality, giving excuses, putting down individualism and personal responsibility. The communist Pope used a term called, he used a word to demonize individuality. I can't remember the word offhand. This is not accidental, folks. It's not. Why is it so necessary for drag queens to read stories to 2 to 8-year-olds? You have to ask yourself, why is that? Why is it so important to have rights for criminals, but not for innocent citizens? Why is it okay? I could go on and on and on for criminal behavior and, God forbid, the killing of our law enforcement officers who do jobs we would never think of doing. And yet, law-abiding citizens are not allowed to defend themselves. All of this is atrocious and a real problem. And so my question is there anything that the left has not gone after that will destroy our culture and Western civilization? I mean, I haven't even given quite enough examples, but think about it. I used to say, and I still do, that gullible Republicans always wanted to give the benefit of the doubt to their ideological opponents. They always wanted to say, well, you know, we just disagree. They want what's best for the country, but we just disagree. With the kind of rhetoric that we have seen again and again, the hatred towards this country, what makes the leftists go bananas faster than anything else is to claim that you love this country, America. What makes them go crazy are people who hold themselves accountable and answer to a higher authority. That is God, not the state. These are the ideas and the things that make leftists go crazy. Because love of America is considered jingoistic. Criticizing criminality is considered intolerant. And yet they save all their intolerance, save all their hatred, which is considerable, for innocent people who are getting murdered by illegal aliens, for law-abiding citizens who simply want to defend their family and happen to own a gun, for people who are religious and who follow the law, who would never think of not being responsible, personally responsible. The left hates them. The left hates Christians. The left hates Jews, but for a whole bunch of reasons. And then, of course, we have the self-hating Jews on the left. Don't get me started. So my point is, I do not believe that they want what's best for our country. Their policies have proven that they don't want what's best for our country. And I'm tired of conservatives and Republicans giving them the benefit of the doubt. If someone tells you they want to destroy you and then they prescribe a policy, do you listen to them? Do you do what they want? No. You say, you know what? You've just told me that you want to destroy me. So the last thing I want to do is do what you're telling me to do. And yet, there are a lot of gullible people who buy into the notion that the left is more compassionate, caring, understanding, just wants what's best for people. Nothing could be further from the truth. And I do make a delineation between the left and liberals and progressives. I mean, I'm calling them the left because they own and control the Democrat Party. They do. And what they are prescribing is a recipe for the destruction of this country. It is the exact opposite of everything we have ever held dear in this country. And yet, because they've been working at it for so long and telling people that left is right, up is down, purple is blue, there are a segment of gullible Americans that buy that. They want to be in the in crowd. They want to be cool. So they want to believe that this is just a more forward-thinking way of looking at the complex issues of the day. Anybody who believes in, and I said this in my blog yesterday, anybody who believes in old-fashioned things like right and wrong, like not enabling drug addicts by giving them a place to shoot up, you'd think this would be common sense, wouldn't you? But it's not. We have a left that's teaching anti-common sense. Anti-common sense. The only way out of this is through personal responsibility and a return to the Constitution. But we've been asleep at the switch, and we have a whole generation of people that have been taught that socialism is a viable alternative to the Constitution. But I digress. So in the last 2 minutes before we have our guest, actually, I don't have much time. I want you to, if you have time, go to my Facebook page. I was incensed. As a person who kind of sort of used to be pro-choice in the first trimester, this thing that happened in New York with making it legal to kill babies the minute before they're born. And yet Kamala Harris, who had her big coming out party as running for president, had the gall to say that she believes in gun control because babies and policemen are getting killed in communities. She actually said that because she knows that people aren't paying attention. And she would be one of those proponents for abortion up until the minute before you are born. So, you know, what kind of credibility is that? None. Zip. Nada. I don't want to take any more time because I want to leave plenty of time for our wonderful guest, Jamie Glazov, who will be with us after the break. Please stay tuned for that. He wrote a stunning book called Jihadist Psychopath. This is Karen Cataline. We will be right back after the break. And you're listening to Spouting Off.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Hi, I'm Eric, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on natural rights versus entitlements.
America was founded on the idea that human beings are born with natural rights, such as the rights to life, liberty, and property. A person who holds this view of rights makes no demands on others except that they respect those rights. Today, however, many Americans talk about rights to a college education, state-of-the-art medical care, and even birth control pills. These are rights understood as entitlements, and a person who holds this view of rights, far from making no demands on other people, is making claims on other people's money and resources. This understanding of rights not only sets citizens against each other, but it undermines the whole idea of natural rights.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline, and I'm delighted to have with us, I've been excited to have him for a while, Jamie Glazoff holds a PhD in history with a specialty in Russian, U.S. and Canadian foreign policy. He is the editor of frontpagemag.com and the author of the critically acclaimed United in Hate, The Left's Romance with Tyranny and Terror. Can't wait to talk to him about that. He also has a web TV show, The Glazoff Gang, and he has a new book out called Jihadist Psychopath, How He is Charming, Seducing, and Devouring Us. Welcome to Spouting Off, Jamie Glazoff. Thanks for being with us.
Fantastic to be here. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. So why don't we start with your current book, because there's so much to say. And I've listened to a couple of your interviews. You do just wonderful, wonderful work. And if you were introducing this, let's just say, even though my listeners are much more knowledgeable than the average Joe, but if you were giving the thumbnail sketch of what Jihadist Psychopath is really all about, what would you tell them and what would you tell us?
Well, I've studied psychopaths for many years, and in my study of psychopathy, you know, I narrowed in on all the steps that psychopaths use and engage in to seduce and romance and devour their victims. They have a step-by-step process. And as I studied the Islamization of America and of the West and what jihad and stealth jihad are doing to us, I began to see that it's the exact same step-by-step process and all the same tactics that psychopaths use in manipulating and devouring their victims. I'll just give one quick example. You know, I give all the steps in my book. But for instance, you know, where can we even start? For instance, after the romance seduction stage, when the psychopath has his claws into his victim or her victim, the psychopath is an expert in that paradigm once he's taken control, how he keeps the brainwashing and indoctrination going and the captivity going, is the psychopath is an expert in punching you in the face, and then within 30 seconds he's sulking and pouting and you're apologizing to him. He plays the pity card and the feeling sorry for himself card, and the victim is apologizing to him. And so, you know, and then I give a carbon copy of every single one of these tactics in terms of what's going on in the terror war today and in our culture war. For instance, you know, there was just, you know, not just one, but many, but, you know, if we keep an eye on it, there's constantly jihadists screaming Allahu Akbar and attacking the infidels. That just happened in France. And after that happens, within the blink of an eye, our media is reporting. How do they report the event? They report the event by saying that they're really, really concerned because the Muslims are concerned. The Muslim community is concerned about the backlash that might come. And then all of a sudden, our society and all the kafirs, the unbelievers, are apologizing to the Muslim community for their Islamophobia. So this is how the process works. And it's part of the psychopathic paradigm. And, you know, there's many other examples. That's just one example.
Oh, Jamie, you gave me so much to ask you about. You know, I have an MSW from Columbia University, and I always enjoy the psychological aspect of politics because it's more intense than ever before. Would you say that there's been a making the ground fertile by the left of this kind of PC apology for, and that the Islamic, the Islamicization has piggybacked on that? Or which came first, the chicken or the egg? Because people are already kind of primed for apologizing and saying, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I don't want to offend, which is pretty hilarious considering the left is quite offensive. We could get into that. But do you know what I'm asking?
Okay, I definitely understand the theme in general, but what specifically would you like me to narrow in on?
Well, it seems to me that the PC, the political correctness that came before this infiltration of jihadists that we are seeing on steroids right now made the ground fertile for that kind of apology. The jihadists piggybacked on that because they watch our culture, or it was made fertile to begin with, I guess.
Absolutely. They fertilize the ground for this. This is all by design. It's all by design. It's all
That's
choreographed. And the left works together in unison with the Islamic supremacists. So it's the ingredients by which they're cooking their soup, one could say. Okay?
Yeah.
So, for instance, the left on this side, you know, this is how evil works. This is the evil paradigm. And you've got the left nurturing and fertilizing the evil ingredients, and then it's compatible. So, for instance, on this side, what the left is doing is nurturing this climate of also leftist beliefs. Okay, so everyone is equal. We're going to have a perfect utopian planet. We're all going to be the same. And anybody that has any different views on anything that we say is a racist and a white supremacist. And, you know, we have to accept all faiths and all creeds and all religions, you know, all of that stuff, right? And by the way, even when I'm saying that, You can already feel the accusation right away of the person saying, oh, so you don't believe that people are equal. That's completely false. We all believe in the equality of human beings in terms of through the eyes of God, and that every individual, you know, deserves respect and is equal before the law and all that stuff. Of course, we don't believe in any kind of superiority or anything like that. It goes without saying, and it's so unfortunate that we even have to defend ourselves on that level. But what we're discussing is that there's not equality in the sense of, for instance, that there can be a great artist and that some artists might be better than other artists, or that some hockey players could be better than other hockey players, or that there could be a great singer.
Right. That goes right against socialism.
Yeah,
you can't have that because collectivism means we're all equal except me. Right?
Exactly. So they pave this, so they nurture that whole thing. And that, so, and then this whole thing about that, you know, that all faiths and all religions are equal. And if you even have one thing to say, you're racist and Islamophobic and a bigot and a white supremacist. Now, in comes the terror war, and in come the jihadists in Islam, and they've got the perfect fertile soil now. Because now when the followers of the religion of peace enter the dynamic, you cannot say one word. Because people are so terrified of being called a racist that they're quiet now. And so now we have a quote-unquote religion that practices female genital mutilation and honor killings and engages in jihad.
And are the very biggest racists there are.
Exactly.
The very biggest sexists there are. So
absolutely.
But
to finish, the one more sentence, and so that's the conclusion right there. That's the conclusion that they've already blindfolded us and tied our hands behind our back because they've prepared that formula.
It's an ugly, ugly mix. You're exactly right. Such an important topic. I have this question that I used to ask kind of as a stock question during the administration of the previous president. Okay. I even asked it of a very well-known head of a college once. And this was in the early years of the Obama administration. And I said, you know, we have this theory of useful idiots. And right now we have the propagation of Marxism and Islam. And we have someone who's a friend of both. So which is it? Are the left the useful idiots of the Islamicists, or the Islamicists the useful idiots of the left? And I think I know the answer, but I would love to know your answer.
Well, of course we know that in terms, like the first stage, of course, we know that the left are useful idiots, quote unquote, in terms of the fact that they're idiots in the sense that they will be ultimately devoured by the totalitarian entity that they're working with and aiding and abetting. Okay,
that's
so
it.
So that's true. But I'm always a bit careful with the term useful idiots. Because on one hand, it's true, and it does refer to certain parts of the population, and that's what Lenin called a lot of these dummy leftists that are, you know, there's a segment of them that are very naive and stupid and idealistic. We get all that. But there needs to be a warning here that the left in general, it's not a naive movement, and its leadership and the many of the people in it, there is a calculated malice here. And they're far from being idiots. Now, don't get me wrong. They're idiots in the long run in terms of they've chosen the wrong side. Just like the fallen angels that chose to follow Satan might, quote unquote, be idiotic. But they knew what they were doing. And so let's not mistake this, that whether it's Obama or, you know, Hillary Clinton, or, you know, we can just go down a list of leftists. This is malice, and many of them know that in the end they will die or be killed by this totalitarian entity, because in the end it's a self-hating, self-devouring ideology and movement.
Yeah. What I've always sort of thought of, I don't know, just run this past you, is the idea of concentric circles. I think that there's a relatively small number of people who are the, in our first half hour, I talked about Isaiah. I'm a nice Jewish girl, sometimes not so nice. And Isaiah 5:20 that talks about elevating evil and turning bitterness into sweet and sweet into bitter. I wonder if there isn't a smaller number of people on the left who are pushing these ideas and then having a much larger number of hangers-on accepting it as being cool, as being more forward-thinking, as being, they accept these ideas at face value. Well, this is the more compassionate thing, like something that I am absolutely incensed about, safe injection sites being funded by George Soros all over the country, all over the world. you know, where it's just more forward thinking to enable drug addicts to shoot IV drugs. Mm-hmm. And so they're elevating evil over good and calling it cool. I guess my point is that we're getting off on a tangent, of course, but it's really fun to get off on tangents. And that is that I do think that there is a certain number of people on the left that do sit and calculate this stuff. The people that you mentioned are part of that. And they never think that they're the ones that are going to be eaten. They're going to be protected because they're going to be the dictators. It's and we've seen this again and again and again. Let me go back to a question for you. With your book, your last book, United in Hate, many people, conservatives, question a lot. I'd love to get your answer as to how it is that the left has such a romance with tyranny and terror, considering that the hypocrisy is blatant as to the difference. How can they be champions of racist, sexist, homophobes, but Americans who say the wrong word or pronoun are racist, sexist, homophobes?
Okay, just a sec. Very profound things you're saying, Karen, but what specifically are you asking me?
Well, I would like you to speak to your book, United in Hate,
uh-huh.
The Left's Romance with Tyranny and Terror,
right.
And help the listeners understand at least a couple of ideas as to why the left would have a romance with something Islamicists who are so blatantly racist, bigoted, and homophobic. I mean, how much denial do you have to be in order to ignore the sexism in the Islamic world and the bigotry towards Jews and Christians? You have to be into a lot of denial in order to just ignore that. And yet the left does. So
Right. No, absolutely. And so look, this is where I would begin. On the face value, as I was saying earlier, it appears to be a denial. And it appears that they're missing something or that they're blind. And so what I want to stress is that ultimately there's a malice there and that many of them absolutely know what's going on. And so here's the key. The left hates ferociously its own host democratic society. So leftists hate their own host capitalist democratic society. They want to destroy the Judeo-Christian tradition. They want to destroy individualism. They want to destroy the prosperity that capitalism nurtures and creates and all of the quote-unquote inequality that comes from that, because it's not about the fact that they want to help the poor. They just want to destroy people who are successful. Mm-hmm. And so we could go on into that. But there's also a self-hatred there that comes mm-hmm. from that, because they hate humans for who and what they are. And so on the one level, there's no mistake. There's nothing illogical about the left. It makes complete sense. Once you know what the left is, we begin to understand the fellow travelers that traveled to Stalinist Russia and wanted to build communism there and got slaughtered by the Stalinist regime. The leftists that traveled to the Iranian killing fields to build Khomeini's revolution and got killed there. There's a self-devouring that goes on here. But I'll just say very quickly how the process works here in terms of what you're asking. So you would say, well, how could leftist feminists possibly support an entity where they'll be killed within 30 seconds of when those people take power? So mm-hmm. when we see the leftist feminists in those demonstrations screaming Allahu Akbar right next to Islamists in the anti-war rallies, you know, those Islamists take power, those leftist feminists will be killed within a minute. And a lot of them really know that. That's why I'm also stressing that there, in some ways, you know, there's a death wish going on here on a much, much deeper level. But on the surface level, what I'll say quickly is this. Kathy Griffin, Chelsea Handler, Rosie O'Donnell, thinking mm-hmm. about certain people. Okay, so they're leftist feminists. But yet, when you bring up Asia Bibi, the Christian woman that's been in prison in Pakistan for 8 years for being a non-Muslim and touching a cup, they would never say anything on her behalf. They would never say anything on behalf of Aksa Parvez, the 16-year-old girl that was suffocated for not wanting to wear her hijab in Toronto years back by her father. They would never say anything on behalf of Maideh Hojabri, the 18-year-old girl that's in Iranian prison today because she was caught without a hijab on social media. So why? Well, it makes complete sense. They're not in denial. They're just malicious haters and self-haters, because here's what's happening. If they admit that that's happening, if they admit Asya Bibi and Aksa Parvez and Maideh Hojabri, then they would have to make the next conclusion, that Islam is an evil ideology and an oppressive ideology. What's the next thought? The next logical thought is that our society and civilization is better and superior. They can't make that move. And then even more horrifyingly enough, the next conclusion is that our superior society and culture needs to be protected, defended, and saved.
And they can't go there either.
Their whole mission is to destroy this patriarchal, fascist, capitalist, you know, everything that they call it. So therefore, Maideh Hojabri and Aksa Parvez and Asya Bibi have to be pushed into spheres of invisibility.
Wow.
And they have to deny what jihad in Islamic law is, because of what they're trying to do here. And then we could go further. It's in their interest to aid and abet the persecutors of Asya and of Aksa and of Maideh, because those persecutors are going to help them also create a ground zero here, because it's on the ashes of ground zero that they can build their utopian paradise.
Oh, God. Well, this is fun stuff, isn't it, Jamie?
Yeah, it's... It's complete and utter evil.
And I think part of what you're up against, and sometimes what I'm up against, a lot of people who are, you know, sounding the horn, is that a lot of people just don't want to believe this. Either they think it's, you know, black helicopter stuff, or it's just too horrible to think about. I've got only a few minutes left, and I'm torn between which question I want to ask you. I want to ask you about the infiltration of Islamic, really radicals, in our Congress. You could say a word about that. But the other thing I'm dying to ask you, mostly because I like to ask you things that maybe other people haven't asked and things that I've wondered about for a long time. If I think in the future, this is another one of those complicated questions that I hope I can articulate. If you think into the future about the Christian Baker, which happens to be in Colorado, where I am based, and I watched this closely, the case of Jack Phillips and religious freedom, what I fear, that case, I am a champion of that case. And yet what I fear is that Islamics will piggyback on that idea of religious freedom, ignoring the fact that Islam in all its forms is a political ideology as well as religious, and use that to create circles of their own Sharia Allah law. Does that concern you?
Well, absolutely. This is a really fundamental problem.
Yes.
This is really, really serious, because, you know, our society allows the freedom of religion.
Right.
And we have a political ideology, a supremacist ideology that hates our society and wants to replace the U.S. Constitution with Sharia law, and a religion, in terms of what we know to be a religion in general, there's a separation of church and state. And, you know, you might pray and, you know, and do religious things. And as Jesus also said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar and give unto the Lord what is the Lord's. But as you're also saying, Islam is nothing about that. Islam is a political ideology. There is no separation between mosque and state. And so therefore, this is a very serious problem, because we're giving, quote unquote, religious freedom to something that masquerades as a religion, but is actually a hateful ideology that's trying to destroy us. And this is a very serious problem.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it, because every time when we stand up for Jack Phillips in the Masterpiece Cake Shop, there's nothing in Christianity that advocates breaking our laws of everything we hold dear. There's nothing that is anti-constitutional in Christianity or in Judaism as it is practiced today after the Reformation. But there is in Islam, and I do fear that that is coming, where they're, you know, watching this religious freedom argument and seeing an upside. I don't have any more time, and I would love to have you back with your permission. Please tell everyone how they can get your book, how they can connect with you, because you are a gem.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your kind words. You know, I've devoted my life to this. My parents, you know, stood up against the Soviet regime. They were Soviet dissidents. We were able to escape the Soviet Union when I was a kid. So when we, you know, arrived in America, I fell in love with this country, and I want to defend this country and how precious and treasurable it is. And that's why I've dedicated my life to fighting, not just against the evil ideologies abroad, but the forces here at home that abate and aid them, which is the left. So I've dedicated my life to trying to expose what the left really is. So everybody, please go to jamieglasoff.com. That's my website. You can learn all about my new book, Jihad is Psychopath, there. Watch my TV show, The Glasoff Gang. And it's also a great honor for me to be the editor of David Horowitz's website, frontpagemag.com. And David Horowitz is a former leader of the New Left who left the left and is now exposing what the evil of the left really is. And what an honor it is to work beside David Horowitz at frontpagemag.com, and everybody should be visiting there.
Absolutely. I was honored to have my first piece in Front Page Mag, thanks to you and others. I've been an enormous fan of David Horowitz, and of course, he lives in Colorado now. So we need him, because Colorado is in dire shape. Anyway, thank you so much, Jamie Glasoff. Please go to his website, jamieglasoff.com, buy his book, Jihadist Psychopath, and hope to have him on again. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much, Karen. It really was a pleasure and an honor.
Mine too.
Thank you.
We are all out of time for this edition of Spouting Off. If you'd like to reach me, please do so at www.karencataline.com. There you'll find all of my rantings and spoutings off, both on radio and in print. I am honored to be able to do op-eds and blog posts and other things. You can find me on Facebook at /KarenCataline or Twitter at Karen Cataline. Thanks to Doug and Don, my producers, and BBS Radio. And thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.